This morning, as I kind of mentioned earlier, I'm going to talk about a lesson in healing, a lesson in having great faith for healing. It's based in Luke chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, which you should, if you happen not to bring a Bible this morning, there are plenty of Bibles in the underneath the seats in front of you. Just grab one of those to follow along. But this is going to be based on the Roman centurion that we find in Luke chapter 7, and it is a lesson in healing power and great faith. But I want to begin in Luke chapter 6, because Luke chapter 6 builds and leads right into what we're going to read about in the beginning part of Luke chapter 7. And so Luke 6, beginning at verse 12, it says, "Now it came to pass in those days that Jesus, he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, and whom he also named apostles." And then it goes through a list of everyone that he named, all the 12 apostles. Then picking up in verse 17, it says, "And Jesus and he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all." Heavenly Father, as we open your word, as we listen to this message this morning, God, I pray you would give me the right words to speak, Lord, and keep me from saying the wrong words. I just pray, God, for your powerful anointing, Lord, on your word this morning. May it not return void as your word promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know, you might have to turn the page, I don't know, but we're going to go right into Luke chapter 7. So, but we see why the multitudes were there, that Jesus was healing. He was healing people of diseases, of sicknesses, of being tormented by demons. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And Jesus, actually, in chapter 6, it's kind of the Beatitudes. So, in Matthew 6 through 9 is normally what we would read when we think about the Beatitudes, but Luke gives us a shorter version of the Beatitudes, and he goes through that list. But Jesus was healing people, and they were coming from all over to come to him to be healed, to have these demons that were oppressing them, to be delivered from them. In Luke chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, it says, "When Jesus has finished saying all this, in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die." So Jesus, he'd been preaching, he'd been teaching to the multitudes, and he'd been healing all the sick. We just read that. And it says, "The saying of the word of the Lord." They heard his sayings. They heard what he was saying, what he was teaching, what he was preaching. That is vital. When we talk about receiving healing, divine healing is dependent on healing, on hearing the words of Christ, hearing the words of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" We have to hear the word of the Lord. Think about your salvation. No one probably in here received their salvation unless they heard someone share the salvation message or they read the salvation. There had to be a communication of it. And it's no different with healing. There has to be a communication of what the Word of God says in regards to healing, to believe in it, to receive what the Lord would have for us. So Jesus, it says, spoken in that verse 1, in the hearing of the people. So people have to hear the word of God. They have to hear the word of God preached. They have to hear it taught. And then when that happens, faith starts to rise up in their hearts, in their spirits. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. If you want to increase your faith, I think everybody in here probably would like to see their faith level increase. Well, it's going to increase as you're in the Word of God. As you're reading it, as you're meditating on it, as you are letting it speak to you, faith is going to rise up. There's a lot of Christians today that walk around and they have very little faith for things and they're struggling and they're not seeing their lives change. They're not seeing a huge change in their walk with Christ, and they're not looking that much different from the world. And you can trace it back many times to the fact that they're not in the Word as much as they need to be. We are people of the Word. We need to be in the Word. It is crucial. So when God's Word is spoken, and then faith is produced, people like the Roman centurion here, they're emboldened to reach out for God's healing power for themselves and for others in his case. He had a servant that was sick, and he had heard about Jesus, and he had heard what Jesus was teaching and what he was doing, and he called out for him. And in verse 3, it says the centurion heard of Jesus. When he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Here's a key to divine healing. It says the centurion heard of Jesus. The centurion heard about Jesus. So we have to make Jesus Christ and his healing power known. We have to make it known to a world that is filled with people that are struggling and sick, and both not just physically sick, spiritually sick, emotionally sick. We have to make what Jesus says about healing known to them. And so this Roman centurion, he sends trusted messengers, these elders of the Jews, to the Roman from him, sent and asked Jesus to come and heal his servant. And Scripture sometimes comes to me when I'm preparing messages, and when I'm reading that, James 4:2, where it says, "You have not because you ask not." How much do we leave kind of on the table because we just don't ask God for it? We don't think God's going to answer that prayer, or we just don't believe that God has the time, really, to answer that for me. He's got so many other big things to worry about. Why would he... We need to get a bigger concept of who God is. God is omniscient. That means he knows everything. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He has all power. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And it's tough for us with our finite minds to really get our minds around that, to understand that. But he can pay as much attention to you as he does. It's like nobody else is around. He is focused on you. You have all his attention. His eyes are upon you. And no matter what it is, what you care about, God cares about. Now, he might care about it in a different way, and that's why we have to submit ourselves to him. Because we might say, you know, Lord, I've got a really great plan for you to fix this. If you would just follow my plan. But how many of you know that God's plan is always better than our plan? That's where the trust in him comes in. So I think a lot of times sick people are not healed because there's a lack of hearing God's word, which leads them to not asking him for healing. Right? If you, for as long, when I think back to my life, when I got saved at about 19, and I think back to the previous 18 years or so, I really can't remember anybody sharing the gospel with me. And I went to Catholic high school. I don't know if that surprises you or not. But I don't remember hearing the gospel clearly presented in high school. And I think of how many people do we just assume they've heard it somewhere. Don't assume anything. You might be the only person they have an opportunity to hear the gospel from. So take advantage of those opportunities. And never assume because you think you know someone that they would never want to listen to this. Don't make that decision for them. Let them make that decision. Our job is just to preach the gospel, to share the good news with people, and allow the Holy Spirit to stir up their spirit, but they make the decision. We're sowing seed, the seed of the gospel. It's up to the Holy Spirit from then on to draw people, right? It's God. God is the one that saves people, not us. So we just share the gospel with people. Now, let's look at this Roman centurion, because I think we need to follow his example when it comes to healing. Hear God's word, right? He had heard about God's word. He heard what Jesus was doing and what he was teaching. He had heard that, especially on the subject of healing. And he let that word be implanted in his heart, which caused faith to start rising up, that he could ask Jesus to heal his servant. You're not going to ask somebody to do something for you unless you think they actually have the ability to fulfill what you're asking them to do. And so the more we read about Jesus and who he is, that he is the healer, the more our faith will be built up to ask Jesus to heal. Amen? Now look at this. Verse 4 and 5. Back to Luke chapter 7. It says, when they came to Jesus, so these are the Jewish elders that the Roman centurion had asked and sent to Jesus. It says, when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue. Now, there's two things I want to focus on in there. The first part is actually not a bad part. It says they pleaded earnestly with Jesus on behalf of the Roman centurion and his dying servant. This is very valid when it comes to coming before Christ. To come before him, come before the Lord, and cry out to him. You can come to God boldly. You can come to Jesus boldly because of what he did, the blood shed for us on the cross. We can come before the throne of grace boldly. We can come earnestly, and we can plead. We can ask for the things that are on our hearts and on our minds that are bothering us, that we're worried about. We can come to Jesus with those things, just like this Roman centurion did. And plead earnestly. How many times? We read over and over in the Bible about people coming to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. In all the Gospels, there's people that come to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on me. We can do that. We can plead to God, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my wife. Have mercy on my husband. Have mercy on my kids, on my friends, Lord. Have mercy on them. And then it goes to verse, I want to mention this in that verse. When it's after they're plead, that's fine. You can plead earnestly with Jesus to do something. It's fine. Come to him. Ask him. Ask, seek, and knock, right? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. That's fine. But then they say something that's interesting I want to call your attention to. It says that the one for whom you should do this for deserves it. Because he loves our nation. He's built us a synagogue. He's done all these wonderful works. He deserves you to come and heal him. He's earned it. Can I just tell you, you can't earn God's blessings. It's grace. It's like salvation. You don't earn it. And that's where their whole thinking was. Hey, he's done all these great things. You owe it to him to come and heal him. And look at what Jesus does here, verse 6 and 7. So Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself. Now listen to what he says. See, the Jewish elders had a concept that this guy had done so much, he deserves it. But what does he say? Lord, I am not worthy. I don't deserve. He understood. He didn't deserve this. He didn't earn this. He says, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But listen to what he says. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. The Roman centurion said, I don't deserve it. I am not worthy of you coming under my roof. And two things stand out to me. We have to recognize, number one, our place and Christ's place, that Jesus is superior to us. That we can't do anything that makes him owe us anything. We have to recognize where we are, that he's superior, infinitely superior to us. And it's all, that's humility, coming before God with a humble spirit, a humble heart, right? And it's always a right thing to do to look up to Jesus, to look up to him. And that's the Roman centurion. He said, I did not deserve that. That's a recognition when he says that. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy. That divine healing or anything else. Think of something right now. Maybe you don't need to be healed, but think about whatever it is that you feel like you need right now. It might be, I need money to pay my bills at the end of the month. I need my relationship with my spouse restored. I need my relationship with my kids restored. I need this, Lord. It is on my heart all the time. It is wearing me down, Lord. I need this. I want you to remember this, that it's God's grace. It's his grace that we need. We need his grace. It's not, we don't earn it. It's not because we're so good. We do all these good works, right? And we're coming here to the very heart of the centurion's understanding of faith for healing. He says, but say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. Say the word. There is power in the words that we use. If we're just negative all the time, then we create a negative atmosphere around us. If we are speaking things that are according to the word of God, we're creating a different atmosphere around us. A different atmosphere. And the centurion understood that this power, this spoken word in faith, is a factor somehow. I don't completely understand it. I doubt the Roman centurion did. He just knew that who Jesus was, that Jesus could just say the word and his servant would be healed. You don't have to figure it all out. How I don't understand how all healing works. I don't understand how salvation works. I just thank God for salvation. I thank God for healing. We don't have to understand everything and how it works. We just have to know that Jesus is the healer. And his desire, he was the express representation of God on earth. Jesus did not say anything that the Father didn't want him to say. Jesus didn't go anywhere that the Father didn't want him to go. Jesus didn't do anything the Father didn't want him to do. So everything that Jesus did was in accordance with the will of God. And Jesus healed all who came to him. That is God's will. Healing. Now, why do some people not get healed? That's part two. Maybe next week. I don't know. But that's a great question. But I'm not going to dwell on that today, and we don't need to dwell. But what we need to dwell on is look at these people that did receive healing. What did they have in common? Well, one of the things they had in common was that they believed that Jesus had the power to heal. That Jesus, just by saying a word, could heal. And in verse 8 and 9 of Luke chapter 7, it says, for I myself, now this is important. You have to pay attention here. He says, for I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now listen to what Jesus says in response to this. Verse 9, when Jesus heard these things, when he heard what the Roman centurion was saying about his understanding of how authority works, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. You ever think, does Jesus, have you ever said something you think, I bet you Jesus really marveled at what I just said. But Jesus marveled at what this Roman centurion just said. And turned around, and he said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now this is a Roman centurion. This is not a Jewish person. And he's turned around. All these disciples are Jewish, right? A lot of Jewish leaders there. And he says, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. That's important to keep in mind. The Romans, he understood. If you've been in the military, How many of you have been in the military here or been in law enforcement in any capacity or a lot of other probably fields of work? You understand, but especially in the military, you understand the concept of authority, how authority works. And he understood this concept of authority. You know, he was a mid-level military leader, okay? So he had men over him, right? He had people over him that spoke orders to him, and he obeyed those orders. He didn't fail to carry out those orders. And likewise, he had men under him. A centurion was a person, a Roman soldier who had about 100, that's centurion, 100 soldiers that he was in charge of under him. And so he understood that when he gave his soldiers or his servants orders, they better obey those orders. He expected it. That's how it worked. That's what kept it working. That's what kept everything operating the way it was supposed to operate. And Jesus, when he heard this, this reply from this Gentile Roman centurion, amazed at what? What was he amazed by? His great faith that was expressed in what he said. Great faith. And it's informative to search for what was said by the centurion that amazed Jesus and caused him to praise the centurion for his great faith. And the answer is in the immediately preceding verse 8. The centurion was representing Imperial Rome, and he understood the authority of the spoken word. He understood that in the military, when a superior spoke a command, his subordinates would carry out that command without question. And he was declaring his faith. This was the key that I want you to remember. The centurion, he was declaring his faith that all Jesus needed to do was speak a command of healing for his sick servant, and he would be healed. If Jesus would speak the command to heal, his servant would be healed. Okay, he understood how this concept of authority works. So, and Jesus spoke of the centurion's answer as one of great faith. So here's probably what I'm hoping everyone's thinking. You might be thinking this, okay, how do I apply this Roman centurion's great faith for healing in my own life? How do I apply this? How do I access this? What do I need to do? What do I need to understand so I can see my loved ones healed or I can see myself healed? The key is hearing God's word and then letting that word produce faith to ask God. Here's a quote. This is a great quote. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of F.F. Bosworth. He wrote a book about 100 years ago called Christ the Healer. One of the greatest books on healing, I think, that I've ever read. And he has this quote. He says, "Those who claim to believe in healing, but say one word in favor of it and 10 words against it, cannot produce faith for healing." So what I want to do as we wrap up this message this morning is I want just to read what the Word of God says in regards to healing. So I pulled up several scriptures. But as we look at these, as we read them, and you can write down somewhere these so you can go back and meditate on these specific scriptures. But I'm praying, and I just believe the word, when you read it, when you hear it, it starts to produce faith in you. So let's begin. The first one's from Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. God says, or it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians." Why? Because I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals you. That is my nature. That is who I am. I am the healing God. The next scripture, Psalm 103, 1-3. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Now, that's what I want everyone to do here. I want you to read these with me, but I want you to change where it says "your," change it to "my." Okay, so let's begin in verse 1. Ready? Begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Next, I think, is another one from Psalm. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Next scripture, Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. Let's read it. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall suddenly fall, and those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 53, I believe, is the next one. Verse 5. Ready? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. Next one. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord. That is a word from the Lord. Now, I always think, you know, so people think, well, that's the Old Testament, and when he's speaking to Israel, he's speaking to a specific person. But these are promises. Are we under an inferior covenant? If he made these promises in the Old Covenant, I think we're under a better covenant. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's look at this next one. Matthew. Now we're into the New Testament. Matthew 4:23. I'll just read this. Just listen. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. He is the healer. That's one of our four cardinal things. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the soon returning King. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the healer. He's the healer. Next one. This is Matthew 9:35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Next one is from Luke 9, verse 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Next one. This is Acts 5, 12 through 16. It says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Now, the reason they didn't dare join them is because Ananias and Sapphira had just been slain in the spirit just in the previous chapter. So they were like, we respect you guys and we respect your God, but it's a healthy reverence, right? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, right? Next, it's still continuing. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Praise God. Next one. James 5, 13 through 16. We're probably very familiar with this passage. It says, James, the half-brother of Jesus, so he knew Jesus pretty well. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I think I have one or two more. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And this final verse, this final scripture, John 5, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? I think that's what Jesus asks any of us that are suffering. Do you want to be made well? You know, as amazing as it might sound, there's some people that don't want to be made well. They're comfortable in their position. They get a lot of attention for it, for whatever reason. But if you want to be made well, then it's just a matter of saying, yeah, Jesus, I want to be made well. And if you have weak faith, you can say, Lord, increase my faith. Help me with my faith. Speak the words of the Bible, the words of the Bible, whatever healing. Larry Basso and Angie and myself, and I think Sean and Becky, many years ago, we made a CD where we just read healing passages, and we used to hand these CDs. I think Larry still does pass these CDs out to people just to listen to healing scripture and our marvelous voices reading it. I don't know why you'd want to do that. Angie couldn't stand it. Most people, I'm going to keep going. All right. Verse 10, this is the last verse for this morning. So you go all through this story with the Roman centurion, Jesus saying, oh, what such great faith that he has. He understands authority. And then he says, and those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well, who had been sick. Now, this is what's interesting to me. Now, maybe it just leaves it out, but nowhere in those 10 verses, you know, you have the Roman centurion. He sends these Jewish elders to go see Jesus and ask Jesus to come and heal his servant. And on the way back, the Roman says, oh, Jesus, I don't deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant's going to be healed. And that's when Jesus says, well, I have not found so great faith in all Israel. This is great faith. And then right after it says, those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. It doesn't explicitly say that Jesus said anything about healing him. There's almost like just his belief that Jesus could do this all of a sudden. And we read about, remember the woman who reaches up and touches the hem of Jesus' garment and she's healed? He didn't even pray for her. She just believed that Jesus could heal her, and she grabbed a hold of him, and she received healing. There's something, it's almost like the healing power of Jesus is constantly being beamed down to us. We just have to reach up and receive it in faith. Just like Jesus already did everything for salvation, and salvation is constantly available. We just have to believe it and receive salvation. And I believe it's the same many times with healing. Again, I don't understand everything about healing. I don't know why everyone doesn't get saved. It's the greatest message in the world. And it's simple. It's not complicated. I'm a sinner. I'm going to go to hell unless there's a Savior that died and took my sins. And who is that Savior? It's Jesus. Died for me on a cross 2,000 years ago and took all my sin upon himself. And that by believing in that transfer, somehow I'm saved. I can't explain it to you, but I believe it. I can't believe how he, or explain to you all, like why some people get healed, why other people don't get healed. I just know if I don't pray for anyone to get healed, no one gets healed. If you don't pray for anyone in your whole life to get healed, probably no one's going to get healed in your sphere of influence. Same thing with salvation. You can be praying for people all day long, and it's good to be praying for your loved ones to be saved, but if you never share the gospel with them, we have to speak. We have to communicate. Write a letter. If you're too shy to, you know, to talk to your parents or whoever about salvation, put it in a letter and send it to them. Your testimony, who Jesus is, what he did for you. testimony of healing. I love hearing people give their testimonies of how God healed them, how he touched them. That's powerful. It builds our faith to hear those stories. And so I don't discount who God is. I don't make excuses when I don't. I mean, I prayed for a lot of people that in my mind they didn't receive the healing I was expecting. When I go into a hospital, I fully expect God to heal that person. Sometimes the healing doesn't take place. It doesn't make me think, well, I guess God's not a healer. It's just like, well, God knows more than I do, but I know he's the healer. He is the healer. Amen. So this is the summary of all that. First thing, the Lord's word concerning divine healing must be preached and taught. You got to read it. You got to read about it. Hear about it. Number two, people need to hear the word of God so that faith in his healing power will arise in their hearts. And I pray that faith, if you're here this morning and you need healing, that it's been rising up in you by hearing these scriptures. What the word, not what I say, what the word of God says about healing. Number three, like the Roman centurion, we who have been stirred to faith by God's word need to ask the Lord for healing. Next one, don't be passive. It's okay to plead earnestly with the Lord for physical healing. Look to the Lord for healing as the lesser, that's us, appealing to the greater, that's Jesus. Remain humble before him. Don't be demanding, remain humble. Next one is, remember that healing is a free gift of God's grace. You can't earn it. It's his grace. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn healing. It's grace, his grace. Have absolute unflinching confidence that the word of God spoken in faith will bring results. Understand the irresistible authority of the spoken word of God and recall that Jesus honored this great faith in him, the great faith that this centurion expressed in who Jesus was and what he could do. He honored that great faith in him and his word by healing his servant. So I ask you this morning, if you're here in this place and you need a relationship, and I believe through this message the Holy Spirit's been working on you, convicting you that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if that's you here, and I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes and not look around, but if that's you and you're here and you know you need a Savior and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior that's capable of forgiving you of your sins. He's the only Savior that's paid the penalty, that's paid the price so that you could receive salvation and be in heaven one day. If you feel that, if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you, I just want you to put your hand up real quick so I can recognize you and just see it. Anybody here that needs Christ Jesus, needs him as their Savior, raise your hand. Okay. Now, I said I'd do this at the end. So if you're in this place, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask the worship team if they come up. Now, if you absolutely have to be somewhere. Now, listen, the Chiefs don't play till tonight, so I know that's not a reason. But I'm going to just ask you to stay. If you don't have, stay and pray for people. Pray for people. But if you're here this morning and you have a need, I'm praying that the Word of God has stirred up in you faith to receive the healing that you've been asking for. And maybe you've never asked Christ to heal you of anything. This could be your day. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed in eternity past. He's healing now, and he'll heal in eternity future. He doesn't change. He's still the healer. It didn't all stop in the first century. He still heals people. I know my oldest daughter was healed of a finger issue supernaturally that they said she was going to need surgery for. But we prayed and believed God, and he healed her of it. Hallelujah. There's all kinds of people here I know that have experienced the power of healing in their lives. They don't discount it. They know God heals. So if you have any need this morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward right now. And we're going to pray with you and for you. And again, it's not me. It's Jesus. It's God Almighty. He is the healer. So if you have a need this morning, just come forward. Come forward and believe in His Word for healing. We keep asking, we keep seeking, we keep knocking, we don't give up, we persevere to the end, and we trust God above all else. We trust Him. We trust Him. Amen.
Over the mountains and the sea, Your river runs with love for me. So I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, so I will daily lift my hands, and I will always sing. When Your love came down, I could sing of Your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, Your river runs with love for me. So I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, and I will always sing. When Your love came down, I can sing of Your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. Well, it's foolishness, I know, when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. I can sing of Your love forever. 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 Oh, I feel like dancing. Oh, well, it's foolishness, I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. Oh, we will dance before You, Lord, when Your love comes down on us. Oh, we will sing Your praise. We will sing. We will sing. I can sing of Your love forever. 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 Over the mountains, over the mountains and the sea, Your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when Your love came down. I can sing of Your love forever. I can sing of Your love forever. I can sing of Your love forever. feel like dancing. Well, it's foolishness, I know, but when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. And I sing on your love, I sing on your love, I sing on your love forever. I can sing of your love, I sing of your love, I sing of your love forever. Just to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Just to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you
God ministered to you this morning, would you just say amen and give him a appreciation? I want to read as we close, as we leave from here, a prayer that I was reading the other day. It's from Philippians, verse 9 through 11. And this was Paul's prayer for the Philippian church, and I think it goes for any church, any believer. So it's my prayer for Pebble Creek this morning. It says, "This I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that prayer. I believe, Lord, that that's a prayer for every believer, for Pebble Creek, for every church. God, may we walk in that. May we grow in your love and your grace. God, may we live righteously before you, God, till the day of your return, God. We thank you in Jesus' name.